Let's join Pastor Roger for this inspiring message.
I want to talk today about spiritual life screening. Say, what? Spiritual life screening. So I'll explain more about that in a minute. But open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And I'm going to read this account. We're going to start off that way. Just listen. How many of you have your expector on this morning? Would like to receive something very special from the Lord to your heart? Because he's got the goods. The Holy Spirit really enjoys the Word of God flowing. And I bump into it and get in that flow. It's really a great thing. So here we go. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 20. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So they got into a boat and sat on it in the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. And when the sun was up and it was scorched, it was scorched because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it. It yielded no crop, but other seed fell on good ground, yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. Now I'm going to continue in verse 13, so skip down to that. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? Tell the person next to you, this is the key parable. This parable is the one that explains. Once you have the handle on this one, you understand what he's getting at in the rest of it. So the parable sows the word. Well, look at me. God does everything by starting with a seed, and the seed has life in it, and it produces when it gets into good place. Okay, so this is, well, I'm excited. And then, so it says, these are the ones by the wayside. He's explaining, when the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Everybody say, in their hearts. The concept that God, that Jesus is teaching here is this seed of the word of God is to be sown into the human heart and have effect. But there's things that get in way of it, okay? So we're going to deal with the hindrances. So Satan comes immediately. Then there are those likewise ones who sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so they only endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So there's the first two categories. And then now we go to the last three categories of the condition of the heart. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. And everybody say, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things. One of these three things enters in and chokes out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But, hallelujah, there are these, so the ones that are sown on good ground. Look at the person next to you. So that's what I hope I am. That's my desire, anyway, to be good. We're going to go through a little thing to see how good the ground is and see what we can do with it. Good ground, to those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Recently, Heather and I went to a life screening for our health. What it is, you pay money, and they do blood work. They put ultrasound machines all over you. They bone density, and they check for all kinds of things, carotid artery things, diabetes, cholesterol levels. They do all this stuff. And the idea is that what they want to do is they first of all, even before any of that testing, they have you fill out a couple of pages of questions. You go through, and they want to find out if there's any generational, generic disposition to these things. Anybody in your family that's had any kind of problems in the past? So you go through all that. Sounds familiar spiritually, doesn't it? And so we're doing all this, and we're giving all this information. Then we go and we have the tests. And the idea behind it is that if there's any risks, that you would make changes. If you have risk toward a certain thing, you can actually make a change in your lifestyle. Typically, it has to do with diet and exercise. Most of the time, those have a variable. I found that usually has, and maybe some taking calcium supplements or different kinds of vitamins or things that you might be deficient in, and discovering. The idea here is that you don't want to develop the risk, go into the next step and actually have a sickness. Now you have to, if diabetes, you have to be on insulin to say, make the changes. And so the idea, everybody say prevention. Prevention. So Heather and I are indeed healthy. Hallelujah. Well, good. We have the little thing to look out over here, a little thing to look out of, but we're fine. But we'll continue to eat correctly and exercise. Everybody say this. Basic habits produce or hinder your health. Right? And it's the same with our spiritual life. In fact, I was thinking, you know, I go to the dentist, too, and every dentist knows what happens when you don't brush your teeth. Without basic habits in place, your teeth will decay and you'll lose your bite. Isn't that the truth? Your spirit is not unlike your teeth in this way. Without certain spiritual disciplines in place, you'll lose your spiritual bite and your life will decay. Anybody ever had spiritual gingivitis? So there's always all kinds of ways. Well, today, what we're going to do is we're going to open up the Word and allow this passage to actually be like that life screening test. And the way that will work, because the Bible says that it actually does this. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12, it says, the Word of God is like an ultrasound machine. And it says, it's living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. Everybody say this, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And look at verse 13. There's no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of to him to whom we must give account. So, first of all, I want you to say is understand that the Holy Spirit today was to help us go through checking out our heart condition. This is a life screening, spiritual life screening for our heart, according to this passage. Also, Proverbs 16:2 says this, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. We touched that last week. Now, a person can just feel, you know, look great on the outside and be pure in his own eyes. I mean, there was a man in the physical realm who had years ago, I think it was in the 70s, wrote a book called Running, and he was a runner. He was nationwide known. Everybody bought his book, and they were into running. One day, he was running, and he dropped dead. He should have taken a life screening to find out what was going on inside of him, beneath the surface. He had one area good, but the other area wasn't, see? And so there are things that were happening in him. And that's why this is so important. If we want to be successful in the kingdom of God, we invite the Lord to show us what's beneath the surface. See if there be any wicked way in me, see? Help me see and remove the hindrances. And so there's a series of questions when we look at this passage. So let's check for five conditions or five heart conditions. The way Jesus explained them, they're progressive and they lead to unfruitful living if you have them, and see what we want to do with it. And there's one thing I need to really nail down. I want you to put up that verse, 2 Peter 1 through 4, because these questions, as they're pulled out of this passage, are going to see if you're at risk or not. There'll be a way for you to evaluate and look at your own spiritual life. Now, here's the key. Everybody say diet and exercise. Watch this verse. 2 Peter 1:4, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, everybody look up here. There's another passage that says that his word does not return void, but it accomplishes what he pleases. The word of God will do the work, but it must be on the inside of you. Let me give you an example. Let's say you suffer for every day from feeling lonely. There's scriptures that if you will memorize, everybody say memorize, you memorize and put them in, what'll happen is the Holy Spirit release God's presence of fellowship within you, and you won't have the feelings of loneliness because the Word will eliminate it, because the Word of God causes the deficiencies to be filled up. It is an automatic if it's in good soil. It's a seed and it produces what it is sent to do. It's up to us to remove the hindrances so that it can, and one of the ways you just continually, everybody say, memorize it and meditate on it. It's like eating M and M's. Memorize. I knew I'd get one in here. Memorize, meditate. Memorize, meditate. Im. Sweet and crunchy. Whatever. But getting down to it, okay? Memorize. Now, if you... Now, let's go ahead and jump in here. The basic screening reveals that if something... All of this that Jesus is showing, this is amazing. His questions go through the seed, the journey of this seed, seeking to get to the place to create fruitfulness in the human heart. And it's these thought processes move you from being, everybody say, self-centered, to being Christ-centered. It's literally a birthing from a development. Walking through these, you come from this being this natural man who looks at everything in the natural world, through rinsing away this carnality, to becoming a spiritual person. From self-centered, how many of you found most of your problems? That's pretty much it right now. To Christ-centered. So let's look at the first test. Please understand, the word will produce it if you put it in. Now, the other part of this is it's not about Bible knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. It's not about mental Bible knowledge. Love edifies. Bible says knowledge puffs up, love edifies. When we're talking about the word of God, we're talking about incarnating the life of Jesus inside of you. We're talking about literally more than knowledge, we're actually talking about wisdom. Well, the word gives you wisdom, and it causes your life to come alive because you know how to live on the basis of what's happening. Now, you could have a great struggle in an area of your life. Like, say, if you've had struggle with lust, and you memorize, put off the old man, and you memorize, literally memorize this passage in Colossians 3 or Ephesians, says, put off the old man with its immorality, and you memorize and put on the new man created in Christ's image. You put that in there. A little time will go by, and the Holy Spirit causes that to be you, because it's the words planted inside, and it comes up, and you find yourself not responding to things the way you did, because the word is operating in you. Jesus said it this way. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. My words abide. How do you get them to abide in you? You've got to put them into your heart. You've got to, everybody say, memorize them, sow them. Amen? Okay, first test. Sower sows the word. These are the ones that were sown that by the wayside, where the word is sown when they heard. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in your heart. I want to call this the disinterested heart. Each one of these will begin with a D. The disinterested heart. Are you interested or are you disinterested in the Lord's word? Are you interested in it? That's right off. First heart condition, do you value it for what it is? Because a heart, some people, I'm not kidding, some people are truly like concrete. They're all mixed up and permanently set. But a seed can, over time, crack that concrete all apart. Hallelujah. You've seen it and I've seen it. Big old tree moving the sidewalk out of the way. That started as a little seed. You put the seed in there, it'll crack that stuff up. It'll get rid of hardness. Now, there's a remedy. Each time we face a question from this passage, we look at an actual verse that if you commit it to memory, verbatim, the best you can, it will produce in you the release of what you have need of to get past that symptom. So if you're at risk, you need this verse. Everybody say Ezekiel 36:26. Put that up, Emmy. I will give you a new heart. Look at there. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What happens to you when you memorize the scripture? You're affirming the way God's made your spirit man, and you get past that hardness of that hard mentality. Isn't that true? So you put that in there. What does it do? It begins to produce the heart that wants to learn and yearn for the things of God. A new spirit and a new heart craves the things that are God's. Ooh, hallelujah. It says, I haven't given you the spirit of the world. I've given you my spirit that freely makes known to you the things that are yours. To give them to you. You're not what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. God says, I'm going to cause you to know those things. I've given you a new heart and a new spirit. That begins to, well, suddenly you're not disinterested anymore. You realize this is about God promoting his kingdom in my life. This is an inside job. Praise God. I got to go forward now. Number two, the defensive heart. These are the ones who sown on a stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. I really put my heart to this. I said, Lord, from my perspective as a pastor under your authority, the thing I see most people struggle with when it comes to tribulation is they become offended with someone and get defensive. They become offended and they struggle in the realm of the blaming somebody else for where they are or blaming God for where they are and not really dealing with them. That is, everybody say shallow. See, it says that they went down just a little bit of soil to pop up the word, but then they had no root in themselves, no even desire to look down below and see what's going on in their heart. Are you hearing me? See, so you have to ask that question, am I a defensive person? If you're defensive all the time, what's going on inside of you? What is going on? What's the heart condition there? Look at these two verses. These are ones, if you commit these to memory, your defensive level will go down because you'll become a forgiver. Look at this. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15 is the kickaroo. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you put that down in your spirit, man, and you find it starts producing the quality of forgiveness. You start wanting to forgive. You put it in there and you go, oh, I'm going to be forgive. I'll forgive. And what happens is you quit being defensive. You start being a forgiver. All those offenses that could come after you. Look at this next one. Hebrews 12. Is anybody getting anything else? Okay, Hebrews 12, 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Everybody said, any what? Root of what? Bitterness. Root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. And by this, many become defiled. And you know how that works. Somebody gets, they get mad at something years ago. And that's what the Holy Spirit has given us a grace in this congregation to help people find out what God twisted up a long time ago. A word did become flesh and dwell in you, but it wasn't the God's word. There was another word, and it's a bitter word, and it was a bitter life moment. And something formed in there, and God says, I want to put the axe to the root of that and get that out because it's controlling your life. You put this in, and the Lord says, he begins to create a new operating system. You realize, I can miss the grace of God. I don't want to miss the grace of God. I don't want to be a defensive person. I want to be a generous person. I want to be a spiritually sensitive person. And suddenly, these verses begin to produce the character of Jesus in you. Exceedingly great and precious promises, whereby we become partakers of his divine nature. You put it in there. Now look, the moment you start wanting to do it, some excuse will pop up in your head, and Satan will come immediately to steal it. It's just the nature of it. So just determine, I'm going to develop good soil in here. I wanted just a few more amens. Okay. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the next set? Oh, I got to back up. This last one. Even John the Baptist, when he was in prison, began to doubt, honest doubts, sent his disciples, say, hey, are you really the one? Because John's flipping out. He says, tell him the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are rising, the gospel is being preached. And then Jesus says, and blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Wow. There was something that had gone amiss. He made this up right because of tribulation. Amen? Okay, now let's go to the thorns. Now there's the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Hear the word. And everybody say, the cares of the world. Now, I just want to jump right to what this really is. This is the depressed heart. Put up that verse, would you? The depressed heart. Proverbs 12, 25. Read this with me. The Bible says this. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. the cares of the world. See, look, let's go to what develops. When you don't, and these last three, really, the word that needs to be over is trusting God. Trusting God. Declaring you will trust God. Go ahead and memorize. And this is, look, but a good word makes it glad. So put the word in to counteract this. Now, here's a short little one. There's two little verses that you put them in there and let them become your operating system. And let the life of these two verses happen in you. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him. And everybody say, for what? For he. So you say, how many of you have this happen? You go to bed, you wake up in the morning, and all these thoughts are waiting for you. It's like a little herd at the end of the bed about to charge. You want to pull the cover back of your head so they don't get in your brain. Oh, no, here they come. Why don't you lay in bed at night and go, be anxious for nothing. This next verse, Philippians 4:6-7. Everybody say, be anxious for nothing. I want to go ahead and have turn to somebody next to you, and just to husbands and wives. We're not going to be anxious for anything. We're not going to, because anxiety leads to depression. See, we're not going to be depressed around here. We're going to put this word in us. Amen. I'm hearing back here. They're preaching back and forth here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And, the favorite part, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Go to bed on that pill, wake up better. Take two of those. Sleep on that. So, am I depressed? Is my heart conditioned? Do I have a propensity toward depression? Do I have a propensity toward worry, fear, unbelief, anxiety? Do I have this idea that God will not take care of me? Put scriptures in your spirit, and they will produce the same confident trust that Jesus Christ had when he walked on the earth. You know, look, Jesus, when the devil tempted him, he didn't say, hey, wait a minute, I'm the Son of God. He didn't do that. He had memorized scriptures. He said, it is written. He did what you and I are to do. It is written. And then he quoted a verse. And then hell went, what am I going to do with this? This guy truly believes the word is coming out of his spirit. And you defeat the word. You defeat with the word. You defeat the devil with the word coming up out of your spirit, out of your mind. There's something about, you got to start getting to renew the spirit of your mind. You got to renew the spirit of your mind. Everybody say, your mind has a spirit. You know, you've had funky days, haven't you? Depressed, weighty, mental confusion. The word, renewing the spirit of the mind, is the key to getting it down into your spirit and then moving in there and you having authority. Okay, let's look at the next one. Deceitfulness of riches. So the three thorns, the cares of the world, and then it says the deceitfulness of riches. Am I deceived? Money is money's really the goal of money. God's use of money in the kingdom of God is to strengthen bonds of covenant relationships. That's one reason to spread the gospel around the world. That's one. Money, it gives you options in life, but it cannot cause you to have a generous spirit. Money actually works this way. It amplifies what you are. That's why guys that win the lottery, if you're a drug addict, boy, do you take drugs now. If you're a lust addict, boy, do you go places. If you're an alcoholic, boy, have you packed up. Because money just amplifies what you are. If you're a generous person, you end up sowing your money into people's lives. Isn't that true? Money doesn't change. Money just amplifies what you are. So money has a deception wrapped up in it. Now look at this one. Matthew 6. Oh, am I deceived? It's a deceived heart. A deceived heart. God even told him back in Deuteronomy. He said, guys, after I bless you, will you please remember I did it? and thank me for it, which we'll get to the next, because these progress. See, if you overcome the disinterest with the word and you gain an interest in your spirit. Because last service, people said, I had some of all five. Yeah, there's areas of your life. You just, I'm defeated in that area. And the Lord said, No. No, I'm so mad at so-and-so. Whoa. You know, we got to get past that defensiveness, move into the authority of the word operating in you. Look at this one for the deceitfulness of riches passage, the counterbalance that is Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures, everybody say, in heaven. See, this is what we're talking about, the offering a little while ago. You give an offering, and next thing you know, you're standing in front of Jesus, because it will be the next thing, pretty much. You know, life is short. It's like a vapor. Be standing in front of the Lord, and there's all these people in Thailand that said thank you. Because you stored up, because you did something with it beyond yourself. You move from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. You know, being as a stingy taker to a generous giver. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Everybody say it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you value, your heart will follow. What you lay value on, your heart follows that. Let's go and just say, I treasure God's word. There's a verse in the back. It says, I'll mention it. Psalm 119, 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure. There's another passage here. Just write down Luke 12, 15 through 22. Luke 12, 15 through 22. You know what? I know this. I was wrestling before the Lord about the new beginnings concept, where we're going as a church. I was thinking about it and how we're going to go, and the Lord just interrupted me and just said, put the word inside of you and it will do it for you. And I realized, where is our congregation? Well, let's run them through a life screening test and see how much of them embrace the word and need the word and have the word in them. Are you ready for a wonderful year of knowing the Word of God and watching it do the things that God wants it to do in us? Hallelujah. I am. So just write down that the verse 22, verse 21 of that verse says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich for God. And what happens, there's a story here that Jesus, by the way, everything that Jesus explains works. And it'll produce it in you. Let's move on to the last one, desires for other things. King David is one of the examples of this, and I was looking at how he opened up, let God work in him. He trusted in God. He was given opportunity. He had the wealth. He had all that. And then what happens after you got it all? Everybody say, the distracted heart. See, we move from the disinterested to the defensive to the depressed, to the deceived, to the distracted heart. Here, if you can get all these things, say, Lord, I don't want to be disinterested in your word. I want to just thrive on your word. I don't want to be a defensive person. I want to be a huge-hearted person that forgives and lives freely. Lord, I don't want to be depressed. I want to live in the fullness of a trust and confidence in you. And so you put those scriptures in. Lord, I don't want to be deceived in my heart. I want to understand that you are my provider and I love you. Lord says, I don't mind how much you have as long as it doesn't take you away from me. I just want you. Then after that, it says, am I distracted? How many of you find that the hell has all kinds of things to distract you? So here's the verse. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world for the things of the or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. What would happen in your life if you begin to, if you really memorize that all the way? You know what I'm saying as I'm doing this? First of all, I'm sensing some of you are picking this up. You're saying, I'm going to commit these verses that I need to memory. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you're saying. And you're going to watch anxieties break in your life. You're going to watch confidence rise up. And you say, you know what? I never believed before that God was going to bless me. I do now. I believe it. I believe. If God be for me, who can be against me? The words begin to work. Those Jesus' words are life, and they begin the dynamic. You got to embrace them. You'll end up confessing them. Your heart will well up with the life. It'll rise up in you. Become the good soil. And then that's what he's after. There are ones, see, this other stuff chokes it out. Is this helpful today? I don't want to have in my life things that create deception in my mind about God not taking care of me. I want to just know and settle that in my heart. I don't want to live a depressed life. I don't want anxiety rule it. I want to put that word inside of me and be done with that on a regular basis. I want to be a confident person knowing the love of God. By the way, if you wrestle with that, about the love of God, I have several verses for you. Go ahead. Ephesians 3, 14 through 22. Memorize the whole thing. 14 through 22. This worth it. I used to have it verbatim. This is I'm jumping off the subject here, but that one I found out in my heart when I would think of people confessing the word and laying hold of things. I've discovered that people need the confidence that God loves them. That was taken away, and so there's verses that will actually displace that and grow in you. Okay, let's look at. I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 2. Verse 1. Everybody read this with me. My son, if you receive my words and everybody say, treasure my commands where? See, it's the treasuring within you. By the way, look at somebody and tell them, I'm actually God's treasure. God says, I've made you my special treasure. That's what he calls us. He calls us special treasure. He tells the nation of Israel, you're my special treasure. Then he comes along and says, you know what? Then he defines it more. He says, if, watch this, guys, the person of Jesus, his love is unconditional, but the principles of Jesus, they're conditional. So when you put them in, like we're talking about, when you put them in, they begin to meet the conditions in you. There's some of you said, I'm so sick and tired of thinking this way. And the Lord says, put the word in and I'll recreate the spirit of your mind. I'll cause you to think differently. It'll just happen. If the little seed can overthrow the concrete, you're a piece of cake. Because I don't believe anybody in here is all mixed up and permanently set. I believe you guys have a heart for God, have a desire to know him, and want with all of your hearts to live at what Jesus said, the abundant life. And his abundant life comes by his word operating on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. Now, let me just pray. Lord, in the name, I'm going to pray this and pray another thing in a minute. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the spirit, the craving, the hunger, the longing to memorize your word. I thank you, Lord, for the hope. For calling us, Lord, you're calling us. You're calling us to the rich life, rich in the love that's needed and in the capacity of our spirit, rich in the fulfillment. Lord, I want this place to be a place where people come and say, I'll never be lonely again. I come here and I don't even get sick anymore. Lord, I'm not broke. I have an abundance. Lord, may our house be so filled with the rich promise of your word that everything opposing it flees away. Every mentality that resists your word comes down. Lord, we will not be disinterested. We will be deeply interested and treasure your promises. Hallelujah. Guys, just praise the Lord for a moment. Go ahead. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, as everybody, if you wouldn't mind just giving a moment of privacy to everybody in the room, just to have your heads kind of semi-bowed there, your eyes closed, if you wouldn't mind. that kind of gives privacy for podcasts, what I'm about to do. Videos, I'm going to ask, you know, music, when we come into a setting like this and you see people openly, you know, singing, lifting their hearts and hands or heads or voices, and then you feel something in the room, and that something is God's presence. His presence is everything. It makes all this come alive. The Bible says this very clearly. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love, Son. God loved, the Son comes. So to get a hold of the love, you got to get a hold of the Son. So what we do in moments like this, it says, would you like to get a hold of the Son? Would you like Jesus Christ in your life? If I ask you if you had a credit card in your wallet, you'd know if you did or not. And do you have Jesus in your heart? You'd know if you do or not. People who know the Lord know they know the Lord. People who don't know the Lord, they know they don't know the Lord. It's been amazing to me as a pastor in this town to realize people go to church all their life and never know the Lord. But they don't know it until they get in an environment where the Holy Spirit begins to bring forth the awareness that God loves them. And instead of religion, they now realize God wants a relationship with them. So if you want a relationship with Jesus and you know you don't have one, I want to ask, while everybody else is praying, just lift your hand, let our eyes meet. I'll just lift your hand, wave at me, let our eyes meet. Now let's agree with you that today, Jesus Christ, is that why you're looking at me? That's the reason, isn't it? You know, every angel in heaven right now is doing handstands and rejoicing and singing and dancing. You have no idea the joy that's flooded God's heart right now because you've taken God at his word. Let's pray. Maybe all of us can pray together, but let's just pray. Say, Father God, would you pray? I receive Jesus. I thank you for dying on the cross and washing away every sin that I confess. Everything I've done wrong, I thank you for washing it away. And now I receive in my heart this Spirit that affirms, I belong to Jesus. I receive you, Lord. And I thank you that right now, you're writing my name in the book of life. And I walk out this door, I'm going to heaven in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love, the fountainhead of love, is Father God.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out our website at rogerthrower.com. There you'll find more podcasts, videos, music, devotional messages, lead sheets, and other worship resources. May the Lord richly bless your life and fill you with new hope.
And in my reason